Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parents in Hell with...
Coco, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Well done. And Daisy, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett? Rob Beckett.
And Daisy, can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
No, let Daisy do it. Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Daisy, can you say it?
Widdicombe.
Nailed
it. Widdicombe. I can say all of them.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's Wellington, New Zealand.
Auckland, New Zealand. This is Coco.
I think I'd move to Australia or New Zealand. Yeah. I love the people so much. Well, like London's angry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very relaxed, isn't it? Do you think it's the sun?
I do think
the wide open spaces.
The first two New Zealanders I met were Jared Christmas, who's an absolute legend, and Penny, the makeup person on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Right.
And she's really fun. And she goes, my name's Peen. Hi, I'm Peen. Love it. Love that. She's Stacey Solomon's, does Stacey Solomon's makeup now.
What, from New Zealand? Long brush?
Good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can enjoy
I think she just sort of lives North London and Stacey's Essex now.
Fine. So fine. Ruin the joke.
It's quite far, but I think it's doable.
Yeah.
So like 45. She drives and stuff. Okay. Yeah.
So did she...
we should set the scene. We're in Cardiff, so we're doing a correspondence special on tour together.
Yeah. We're in Michael's hotel room.
Yeah, in Cardiff.
Looking out over the vista
over
of
the bay,
Cardiff.
I can see the sort of big shiny bronze thing that I think some sort of government building.
Is that the Millennium Centre?
I think it is. I don't know what that means.
No.
I think maybe that's their parliament.
I don't think it is.
Marky Drakeford.
I think that's
where he rocks around. That's his gaff. And then I'd say it's weird to have a big wheel that's smaller than the buildings.
Yeah.
Because I'd say the point of a big wheel...
Oh, yeah, it's not even as big as the Millennium Centre.
Yeah, I'd say if you want a big wheel, the point of a big wheel is you get in the big wheel and you look over the city.
Yeah.
Into the window of the penultimate floor of the Millennium Centre. What a lovely view of the guttering on that building.
If it is a political place, it's like that's how they'll find the kind of wrongdoing, like a kind of... They'll go up there and they'll see someone shredding some documents. It's lovely to be in Cardiff.
I love Cardiff.
Do you?
I love Wales.
Top three cities in Britain, excluding London, because you claim to live there.
Mm. Oh, top three cities. I love Manchester.
Yeah.
I love York.
Oh, love York. What a railway museum.
Newcastle's great.
Yeah.
I love South Wales in general.
Do you?
All along the coast.
Talk to me about Pembrokeshire, mate. It's the greatest place. You get to the end, Pembrokeshire.
Is that South Wales?
Yeah, South West Wales.
So yeah, beautiful.
You just keep going. Beautiful.
I love that. Cornwall gets a bit narrow for me, and the driving's hard work. Yeah. I know you love it. You know that's where you live.
It's not where I live or where I'm from.
The same place, Devon and Cornwall. What else do I like? Kent, I can take or leave, even though I live there.
Do you know what? Bristol's nice.
Yeah, Bristol's a good city. We're offending people now by not saying this.
Yeah. We like everywhere.
Oh, we absolutely
wherever
everywhere.
You're from.
Anyway, Josh, how are you? You good?
I'm very good, actually. I'm feeling fresh. I've pumped some iron this morning.
Yeah, I haven't pumped any iron yet. I'm going to go for a walk in a bit. I've got, you laughed at my outfit.
Yeah. Well, it's just because you're dressed a bit like, you know, when you see a footballer milling around a hotel.
Really? In a good way, just sort of like... Well,
you've got your baseball cap, your Valencia FC baseball cap, CF.
Charity shop, St. Christopher's Hospice, Petswood, thank you very much.
There we go. Your Adidas training top.
Yeah, well, the shorts are a bit
short.
Your
New Balance shorts, they're short when you're in that seat. You've got good thighs, actually.
Have I?
I bet you're good on the old Peloton, aren't you?
Yeah, but mainly because I'm fat and heavy. You know, one of them ones. You know, the output's massive just because I'm better uphill because I can just put my weight onto it.
Fair enough, yeah.
But yeah.
And you're less short. You've really gone with all the different sporting brands.
Yeah. Are you supposed to have the same brand? That's a thing, isn't
No,
it?
I don't know. I don't think...
I've got Adidas, Elise, Hoka trainers, New Balance. Also, how do you feel about this? I've got these like shorts for like walking or running that have got like a little pouch lining.
Yeah, yeah.
No pants.
Oh, no, I don't like
that.
Is that
allowed? It feels like the pants are built in.
Well, how often are you washing the shorts?
After every time I wear them, what do you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one wear and then...
Well, I think I used to have material
on
about
my
the,
life.
The netting pant on, and shorts.
To be honest, if I'm away on tour, I might wear them 2 days in a row.
Here we go,
but
here we go.
Only for sport activity.
Yeah, well, when I see you tomorrow, I'll be thinking about your dirty little dick.
So no changes for normal.
Lovely.
Oh,
lovely.
My dirty little dick.
We're going to do correspondence today.
Yeah, let's go for it. Right. We haven't done correspondence for a bit because we've been blabbering on about, oh, my self-care, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, all that fucking bullshit. Let's man up and do some...
Boring, mate.
Boring.
No one wants to hear you happy.
No, exactly. That's not what we're here for. Hi, Rob and Josh. Please make sure you keep this anonymous. Well, it says from anon, so it's difficult not to. As I can't be known as the one that let my friend's secret out. Always a good start.
Do you know what? I think anonymous, gutless, just go for it.
Yeah.
Just, you'll be liberated.
Okay. So Steve writes, I have a friend...
Steve Wright?
Steve
Wright.
Like
anonymous.
I have a friend who has kept every single item of clothing, including shoes, from her son since the day he was born. Fine?
Yeah.
He's now a teenager.
Every single item of clothing?
Well... let's slowly go into this, right? Are you happy with that? You're thinking that's borderline.
I feel like keeping that, all of it. I sort of feel like when they're growing up, because I get, we've got a few bits that we bought together before the baby was born.
Yeah,
friends bought that are quite, oh, that isn't that lovely. That you might want to hand down to grandkids. Yeah. However, that we have bought loads of stuff that's just been covered in poo, dirt, like just basic
T-shirts. Well, it's interesting you say that. Her house, loft and sheds are completely full of it, but that is not the most strange thing. Not only is it clothing, shoes, the umbilical cord, etc.
No, don't you chuck in umbilical cord, etc. at the end like that's
normal.
Yeah,
that's weird, isn't it?
Who is this sick witch?
But she has also kept her child's very first sodden nappy.
This is a cry for help. This you can't be anonymous with it. It's like when a criminal confesses to a crime with a psychologist. They've got a duty of care to tell the police.
That's right. A crusty poop-filled nappy that is about 16 years old is in her storage. I was so shocked when she told me this, I didn't know who to tell, other than you guys.
So what?
Take care, love the podcast from Anon.
What is she keeping that she's too ashamed to tell about then?
Yeah, I don't know, like, well, there's nothing worse than a... I suppose after a number of years, it's probably not as bad, it's just...
It's so bad.
If you found it, like...
It's the worst thing imaginable.
No, but I'd prefer to find a nappy that is... 16 years old than a month old. Do you know what I mean?
I
imagine it's just gone crispy, like finding a kind of mummy. Do you know what I mean?
Human shit's human shit to me.
Yeah.
And at no point will I be happy to see
it. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying...
But what... I get the clothes, every item of clothes. What, just a pair of like the odd socks?
It's just, when are you going through...
Imagine that
you've
poor
got
husband
to,
in the loft.
You've got to remember.
Get the Christmas decorations out. Yeah, just wading through human shit and I'll pop them down.
And also, now her son's 16, what age has she stopped? Because a 16-year-old's not going to want you to keep his clothes. It is interesting keeping stuff. I keep stuff like for the Parenting Hell Tour. I've got the access all areas pass.
That's absolutely fine. You haven't got a pair of pants you shit yourself in on the way back to the hotel.
Is that why you're not wearing pants?
Well, last night I was so tired, I got in at 2 a.m. Yeah. My hotel room's got a bidet, I'd have pissed in that.
Oh my word.
I thought, this is weird, isn't it? Why are my legs wet? And then I looked to the right, there's an actual toilet. I've told you the time I pissed myself in Australia, haven't I, with jet lag?
Why not hear it again?
I woke up in the middle of the night, needed a wee, all jet lagged, and I walked to the toilet to wear my pants. And I was so tired that I forgot to get my dick out and just pissed myself.
Oh, yeah, you
the
have
toilet.
Time. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
It's a worrying Bloody sign,
out.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, all of that's worrying. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I don't.
Do you
really
keep much? Not like that.
I tell you what, moving out and having a skip and being brutal is so liberating. We take loads of stuff to charity shops and stuff like that and donate a lot of buggies and things like that. But we've kept... some clothes, only like a box of clothes. And I've got a box of stuff from gigs and things like that, but not too much.
Yeah, I've got like a box of stuff that's like career
memories.
Stuff.
Yeah.
A box of stuff that's like my daughter's stuff. It's like going through the pictures. She draws lots, so you can't just go, We're going to keep this.
Yeah, I definitely keeping some clothes. I've got loads of little football shirts I bought them that they never wore, but I'll keep them because they're cute and stuff like that. But just like a pair of dungarees.
Yeah. Just you're never going to look at it.
No.
Do you think you're ever going to have a day where you sit down and go through your box of career stuff and go, oh, I'm glad I kept that pass for the Channel 4 Comedy Gala at the O2 in 2013?
I think yes.
Do you?
Because imagine if your granddad had a box did the London Palladium in 1927. And you'd be like, what happened there? And then I think
I think that when people say, I've done the London Palladium, what the fuck's happened there?
Is that a booking error? but that's easy to keep. It's like, I've got about hundreds of like lanyards of different stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine to keep stuff, but not sodden nappies.
No.
It's insane.
Yeah, there's got to be a line drawn.
Yeah, okay. It's human shit.
Yeah.
Here we go. What have we got here? Do you want a Noel's house party boomer story?
Just a bit.
Okay. Dear Rob and Josh, this is a great one for Josh. There are plenty of tales of my partner Alan's dad, Mike, winding him and his brothers up when they were kids. But my favourite has to be the time he told Alan that they were going to be on Noel's house party.
Oh no, that's unfair.
Do you remember when the part of the show was when Noel would click his fingers and a family watching NTV at home would appear on the telly?
Yeah. So they cut into... I remember they did Chris Evans once.
Yeah.
Noel would do that. And it would be shot from like... They obviously... Like from where the video was maybe below
hidden
the TV.
Camera.
Yeah.
And there was always shocked and surprised.
There was a rumour, but I don't know why this wouldn't have made... Why... There was a rumour someone was once wanking.
What do you mean? And it went on the telly wanking.
Well, why? That's such a bullshit rumour because it would have been on the telly. Oh no, I think the rumour was... have you heard this rumour, Michael? No, right. All right.
How would Michael know this rumour?
Because it's like a TV rumour, I think.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not on TV.
No, you are. But
oh, yeah,
not...
why don't you ask me about it then?
Well, you didn't know about it.
No,
it was clear
you
didn't.
What you asked Michael.
Okay. Have you heard the rumour that there was someone wanking on NTV?
No, carry on.
No, but I was across that. Unbelievable.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Right, so I heard a rumour that someone was wanking.
Yeah.
But I just don't believe how that would work.
Well, you just get your knob out and just rub it up and down a bit.
What, watching Noel's house party?
Wow, if you're into Gunge.
Yeah, Mr. Blobby.
Right, anyway, sorry about that. It's a trigger warning if you listen to a kid.
Yeah.
Too late. Here we go. Anyway, like I say, the moment where he'd click his fingers and people at home had been secretly filmed on the telly. Anyway, Mike went to the trouble of hiding loads of wires and a fake camera equipment in the living room.
Oh, that's really unfair.
Twisted them around a houseplant by the TV, etc. He pointed them out to Alan, his son, and said, son, don't tell anyone, but on Saturday we're going to be on Noel's house party. Alan had just started his local comprehensive secondary school.
Oh, fuck off. He didn't tell them, did he?
Keen to earn some street cred.
Oh, no.
And what would be a greater privilege for a child of the 90s? Divulged a secret to his classmates and told them to make sure they were all tuned in.
Rose is ringing me.
His friends actually arranged to gather at one of their houses.
Shall I get this? Rose is ringing me.
Yeah. What does she want?
Hello? Hello, we're just recording a podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
I'll leave you to it.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, what do you want, Rose? It's all right. We can. It's content, isn't it?
No, I don't. I don't think it's podcast appropriate.
Oh, no, is it bad news?
No, it's not bad news, but I think basically, I've got your bank card, and I think you need to put some money in your account.
Okay.
I think it's definitely podcast appropriate.
Okay, I'll transfer some money across.
I'm trying to pay for my leg wax.
your mum was fun last night, Rose.
It's all content. Yeah, thanks. She did. She messaged me and said, "Well, I've just been roasted."
Was that after the show or during the show?
and she said that she could only think of. She panicked and she just said porridge.
Yeah, but it was good. It was great. It went down well.
What's the best thing about Josh as a son-in-law? And she said he's good at making porridge.
He's good at making porridge. To be fair, he is really good at making porridge.
There we go. This is good.
He is.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Absolutely furious that she didn't have any this morning. So.
Well, could you not make porridge?
True.
Oh, we've run out of oats.
We've run out of flaxseed because we've got an East London child.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll move some money into my account now.
Can you move some money so I can pay for my leg work?
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, bye.
Bye.
Do you think like Michael McIntyre and Lee Evans have this on their arena tours?
They must do, mustn't they? I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, right, Noel's house party.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm just transferring some money.
Okay, how much are leg wax these days? What, you're going to transfer the exact amount?
No, no. It's just transferring money into the current account from the savings account.
Right, okay, yeah, I get you. Okay,
yeah, right, mate, just in case anyone was...
full financial issue.
No, just in case anyone was worried that I'm...
You're all right, mate. Absolutely cleaned out. Anyway, so he started his local school, and his friends gathered actually at another person's house to watch.
Oh, no, that's unfair.
Now, picture the scene. Alan and his family huddled on the sofa, the excitement building as they get closer to Alan's moment of glory. Noel clicks his fingers, and it's an entirely different family
fucking
altogether.
Fucking hell. That's awful.
Mike is in hysterics, bastard. And Alan is heartbroken. He runs up to his room crying.
Yeah, rightly so.
Yeah, and everyone in the school thinks he's a massive liar. I think the psychological scars from this incident run deep. Thanks for the many hours of listening.
Oh my God, that's cruel.
When breastfeeding was a full-time job, podcast with my saviour, Becca, a 442-month year old from Sheffield. That is cruel.
That's horrible. So what's her relationship to Alan and Mike?
I think that might be his wife. Yeah, her partner,
oh
Alan.
Oh my God, poor
L's.
Old Alan.
Always unfortunate,
poor,
isn't it?
Of poor old Alan.
That might be a good one. Biggest lies told at school. If anyone's got biggest lies.
Oh, yeah.
There's a kid in my class that told me he won McDonald's Monopoly.
Did he?
And won 20 grand. And he was just lying about how he was spending
it. It's mad, isn't it?
There was a real... siblings, and he didn't.
Oh, God.
It's sad, isn't it? But he did have The Sims, and I went round to play it, and it blew my mind.
There was a liar at my school, and he said he had... he used to lie loads, and then he stole my copy of Sensible World of Soccer.
He renamed it Ruthless World of Soccer.
Yeah, unbelievable. Anyway.
But do you reckon that's because they're not getting enough attention at home?
Don't know.
Some people just like the buzz of lying.
Yeah, it's like stealing, isn't it? Kids like teenagers like stealing, don't they?
For the rush.
For the rush.
Yeah, well, I'd never really stole. I would be too scared. I wasn't a thief.
No, neither was I really.
I wanted to rebel against my dad. That was my act of rebellion.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Love the podcast. Have been listening since the start, and it kept me sane during lockdown as a dad of two now teenage daughters, Eva, 16, and Izzy, 13. Your latest bit about kids saying old person things reminded me of something Eva said when she was 4. She was in the toilet and shouted downstairs that there was no loo roll left. I dutifully grabbed one from downstairs and took it up to her, with her grateful response being, "Oh, Daddy, thank you. You're such a gentleman."
Oh, that's nice.
That's
isn't
nice,
it?
Isn't it? That's better than keeping a shitty nappy, isn't it?
And he's reminiscing about that with a 16-year-old.
Yeah, she's not calling him a gentleman these days.
Well, I keep thinking that as our kids grow up, we'll be like, "Oh, maybe there's not enough to talk about for the pod and stuff like that." Everything I'm hearing, it gets worse and there's more things to worry about.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I don't know what's going to happen. But then, you know, you live in little places, they're the places with the biggest heroin problems. So, no one's getting bored in Hackney.
I had no idea what you were going to say then, and I could never have guessed it would go down the heroin route. Yeah, that is true though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, play date from hell?
Yep.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Listening to the episode about Playdates from Hell, I wanted to tell you about one I endured this half term just gone. A friend of my 8-year-old daughter was due to come over on the Friday at the end of half term. Her mother texted me the evening before. The text went like this. "Hi, how's half term going? Phil," that's her husband, not his real name, "will drop off their kid tomorrow morning," whatever her name is, she's removing names to keep anonymous. "We'll drop off their kid tomorrow morning. Hope it's okay if it's before 9 a.m. That's early, isn't it?
Yeah, that is
early.
That's
too early for a play date. You say, when do you want them? That's the rules of a play date.
Yeah.
We'll have them over. You ring up or text and go, what time do you want them?
Yeah.
Not
exactly.
You don't pick the time. Anyway, I'm thinking, fucking hell, really? But wait, that's not all. Another message. Also, would you mind not bringing her back until after 5:30 p.m. because that's when Phil finishes work?
Oh, my word.
This isn't a play date. This is childcare.
Yeah.
At this point, I generally thought this must be a joke. But then another text comes through. I'm in the Cotswolds checking on my ill mother. Now there's guilt.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Now, what am I to do? I have two toddlers at home as well as my 8-year-old. And now her friend all day.
Wait, is it the 8-year-old's friend?
Yeah.
Is there a world in which the 8-year-old having a friend will make it easier?
Well, And their kid is not easy either.
Oh, my word.
A proper feral one. The kind that walks into your kitchen, opens your fridge without asking, then starts giving you shit for not having better snacks. But I'm pretty sure the dad can't work from home and the ill mother bit made me say, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
Right, yeah, fine.
Anyway, the dad drops her off at 8:30 the next morning and bloody says, my boss said if I need to work at home today, then I should. So I think I will enjoy a bit of peace and quiet. See you at 5:30.
Unbelievable.
I just stood there shocked as he disappeared into his car. What should I have done? Or am I the one who's unreasonable? Please tell me I'm not. Needless to say, the 10 hours with my kid and my three at the end of half term damn nearly kill me. Right, so what would you do in this situation? Tell me how you deal with that and I'll tell you how I'll deal with it.
Well, we both know I'd 100% accept it. And grumble.
Grumble.
I'd put it into my phone notes thinking at least I've got something to talk about on the podcast. The three kids, the two toddlers, is that so they twins the toddlers?
Well, she might have like a one-year-old, three-year-old, or four-year-old.
Yeah. Oh my, I mean, it's not going to be an easy day anyway, so you might as well, in my head,
it's more the disrespect.
Yeah.
It's not, what you want for that message is hi. You said you're having her for a play date. What's your plan for the day?
Because totally.
I need to go to the Cotswolds to see my mummy's unwell and Phil needs to work. So I could try and find some childcare in the morning and afternoon. I just want to work out what we're doing. That's what they should have said. But
It depends how well you know Phil and the wife.
What I'd say is, the way I deal with this, when they send that first text, is 9 okay? I'd respond and go, I've got some errands to run and I can do my errands in the morning or afternoon.
What works best
for you? Because drop her at 9, but I'll drop her back about 1-ish. Or drop her at 1-ish, and then I can drop her right back around 5-ish.
Yeah, that's good.
And then you have to take control of the situation.
With a lie.
Because people will take the piss, Josh.
Yeah, people will take the piss.
And do you know why I know that? Because if I wanted to, I could. I'm that personality. I can bulldoze you with bullshit.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're looking after my kids for 2 days. And then I come home and go, oh, thanks, and leave. And you're going, what happened there? So it takes one to know one.
Yeah.
So you've got to try and deal, you know.
It's good that you've used. It's good that you've used your powers for good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that could be awful.
You could be.
Horrible.
You could have been either Batman or you could have been, well, he hasn't got any powers. Bad example.
Well, just, yeah.
Superman or the person Superman fights against.
Great analogy there.
I don't like superhero movies. They're shit.
I don't after that description.
Rubbish. Awful.
Next one.
Boomer. Hi, you sexy and relatable bastards. When my sister and I were around 7 and 9, we'd been begging my mum and stepdad for a kitten for ages. One evening, my stepdad, who was meant to be at work, and this is interesting because obviously you're moving to the country, Rob.
Yes.
So there's a lot of animal... I was going to say animal lust. That's the wrong word. That's animal...
Have I got to fuck a sheep because I'm going to the country?
No, you haven't got to fuck... You haven't got to.
But you could.
You could.
You can.
No, but you've got the opportunity now to get more animals than your dog and your cat.
Yeah, so I've got a bit more... No, I haven't got like...
I think you're heading in pony direction, really. Two small girls. There's definitely...
I think I've got the space for some chickens.
You don't need space for ponies. You just need to rent...
Two goats, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, why not? I could have chickens or two goats or one tiny pony.
So they'd lay the eggs and you'd bring in the eggs and you'd have an omelette from your chicken's own eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not there enough
then
to be in charge of chickens because you have to go in every morning.
Yeah, what do you have to do there? The only time I've ever seen anyone in charge of chickens was in Big Brother 1. Do you know? Marjorie the chicken.
Yeah, yeah. You have to go in... Get the eggs. You have to check on them, chop up their
clean
water,
them out,
chop
presumably.
Up the feed, clean them out now and again, and make sure it's all secure from the foxes.
Oh, that's
the
big
danger.
One. That's the big one.
And because I'm not properly countryside, I've got
no
like
shit.
I'm like on the border because I'm still like inside the M25. I've got like there's ghetto foxes knocking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's ones that have seen a high street.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're a bit more, you know, limpy.
This feels like there's a Channel 4 show in Rob Beckett Moves to the Country, doesn't it?
I'd prefer one that paid better. Like Disney or Netflix or something.
When I hear Rob Beckett Moves to the Country, I don't think Netflix, I'll be honest.
Do you know what's going to come out of it? A fucking great stand-up
show.
Oh,
no. Do you know what, Rob? It's Channel 5. Channel 5, love of the countryside.
28 episodes.
Yeah, Beckett. Absolutely. Beckett in the countryside. He's got Channel 5 written. You just grabbed your phone as if you were about to text your agent.
Yeah, I'll just ring someone now. No, I don't really want to do... genuinely, though, I'm in the sort of... I'm basically in a village with a slightly bigger garden. I'm not... Yeah. I haven't got a farm like Clarkson or Jay.
No, you're not Clarkson's farm.
No, not at all. He's got about 1,000 acres, hasn't he?
Yeah. We digressed. So my bet's on ponies.
Oh, yes.
One evening...
You're starting to animal lust.
Yeah, sorry. One evening, my stepdad, who was meant to be at work, rang the house phone and told us there was a gift left outside on the patio. We both lost our shit knowing it must be a kitten we'd been nagging for.
Oh, yes.
So excitedly, we ran outside to see a cardboard box placed by the window. Squealing like the 7 and 9 year old girls we basically were, we rushed forward and tore the top of the box open to see what can only be described as absolute carnage in the box. Oh my God.
No.
Blood splattered everywhere and the poor baby cat lying completely still.
No.
We immediately burst into tears, crying and howling. The kitten's dead. After several minutes, but what felt like hours, my stepdad jumped outside from his hiding place and screamed with laughter. He'd bought a fur hat from a charity shop and covered it in ketchup. Then used it to trick us into thinking our new kitten had been massacred.
That's not funny.
It's fair to say our stepdad was an absolute prick and our mum eventually left him. It's fine to not keep me anonymous. Donna Constance from South Wales.
Yes, Donna.
Amazing.
What a bastard.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that is horrible.
Yeah.
I got jumped out on by my cousins at a family event. I was like 8 and I was walking back to my mum's chalet and he was like 6'2", jumped from behind a bush and screamed. It's just horrible.
I don't like pranks.
And then they go, you'd cry and they go, oh, what's wrong with him? Grow up, toughen up. You're like, and I used to think, oh, maybe I'm just a bit weak and pathetic and I'm not a real grown up. Yeah. And then I got to grown up. I thought, no, you're a prick.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Absolute prick.
It's why, even if I'd been good at rugby, yeah, I wouldn't have played it. Because I don't like that atmosphere of...
Well, yeah, but...
I don't want someone to fucking, you know, throw me in a bin or something for a laugh.
You dip your knob in a pint and drink it.
The rugby team at university, they had to... So the first thing they had to do, they got dropped off 4 miles from Manchester... This is quite funny, actually, to be fair.
Good lads.
Legends.
Legends.
No. So you dropped off 4 miles from Manchester and you had to run back and you could choose either your shoes or your pants as your only thing.
Okay, so that would get you on the sex offenders register.
Yeah, which would you choose?
4 miles. I think I'd have pants on.
Yeah, so do I.
I'd rather just walk barefoot than have my knob out.
Yeah, I think I'd take up ultimate frisbee or something.
Do you know what?
Instead.
I'd probably just get a cab home and just not be a part of a team. But that's because
I wonder if there's great English rugby players that have been lost because they're not up for awful bants.
Well, I got into the...
Have you done Rob and Romesh versus rugby?
No, we haven't. We probably will end up doing that at some point. We've done... I got into the football team at uni. I say uni, Canterbury Christchurch University College Polytechnic, where I was doing tourism management with a UCAS score of 7. How many points you got? Just the 3. I'll be all right. Anyway, I got into the football team, but I couldn't get on board with the banter and the laddiness and the group, and we all had to wear like suits to go...
Oh, grow
up. I'm not buying a suit. I didn't have a suit. Yeah, I couldn't afford a suit.
On the Wednesday night, there was the AU, the Athletics Union Disco thing.
Oh, my
That was
God.
Like a big student night out, and everyone would go, and all the fucking sports teams would be in their suits.
I hated it.
Grow up. Yeah, you're 19. Stop wearing a suit. You're not 40.
On a Wednesday night. Why? Yeah. Just to go, oh, I'm in a team. You fucking losers. Yeah. Learn to stand on your own. Neediness, isn't it? Pathetic. Anyway, come to our shows we're doing. we can watch a show. All right, I've got this one about taking kids to the football. I imagine you're going to want to take your kids when they're older.
I'm really torn on what I'm going to do about football.
So I want to take my girls, but I want to wait until they're old enough to know what's going on.
Where are you
going to
take them?
I want to take them Crystal Palace so they support their local team. Because I wish I
Arsenal.
Was taken Palace and I was a Palace fan. But
so you're going to take them to Palace?
Yeah, because it's easier to get to and from.
Yeah.
I might take them Bromley as well, a bit of non-league. But because I liked Arsenal because I loved Ian Wright at Palace. Then he went to Arsenal. I never went to football, so I just watched it on the... Sky and Premier League. And I feel like you should support your local team. So I had a season ticket at Arsenal. But
are you going to get your... I mean, my daughter, I know, already isn't interested.
No.
But, so, I'm already 50% down on that. And they're like, would you take your son to watch Plymouth? I'm like, no. Why would I give... I don't want him to have to support a team that is a seven-hour round trip from his house. But our local team's West Ham. We're not going there.
Why not?
Because the stadium is the most lifeless place on earth. It's unbearable. It's awful.
Good luck getting a taxi in East London.
No. Mate, every West Ham fan's fucking told me that. It's awful.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Leighton Orient?
Yeah, but they're like the same level as... I don't know whether I want to adopt another... Because obviously my dad supported Liverpool. Then when we started going to watch Plymouth, he had Plymouth and Liverpool, and they were different levels.
Arsenal,
so I don't...
Tottenham.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, Rob.
Millwall?
I'm just torn on that. Yeah, fucking Millwall. Let's do it. Okay. He needs to look after himself. He's growing up in Hackney.
Anyway, so this is taking kids to the football. Hello, Josh and Rob. I wanted to tell you a story about the time I took my two sons, then aged 5 and 7, to their first proper football match. This is sort of my kids' age. So yeah. I'm sort of thinking of taking them next. I might take them to a
pre-season
game. Yeah,
because I remember going
to
Argyle and there was a small kid and it was their first game. And the moment something big happened and everyone, they just burst into tears and had to leave. So the first time, you've got to get it right.
Right, so... He took when they were 5 and 7. A few years back, my brother and I decided to take the boys to watch West Ham versus Man United at the London Stadium.
Yeah, okay. The most soulless place on earth.
We're West Ham fans. My brother managed to score 2 pairs of tickets in different parts of the ground. We arrived at the ground.
Should be 6 miles from each other because the ground's so big.
All right, you do live in East London, mate. You need to be careful about
this. I just wish West Ham still played at Upton Park.
I went to Upton Park a few times.
It's brilliant.
It was a brilliant stadium. We arrived at the ground, very excited, took a boy each off, and we went to find our seats. Okay, my brother had given me the heads up that my tickets came from his mate at work and were quite close to the away end. Finding our seats, it turns out he wasn't lying.
Oh, no.
Me and my 5-year-old son were basically sat a block away from the away fans, surrounded by nasty bastard thugs.
Oh, my God.
Who spent the entire match ignoring the game and just hurling abuse at the Man United fans.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly
and
the kind of people.
And they hate each other, don't they? And who, in turn, reciprocated by throwing coins and the C word.
Oh, my word. I'd say the coins is worse in that situation.
My son at the time thought it was brilliant as he managed to find at least 12p and 2 pences on the ground. Fearing of our safety after 20 minutes, I found a steward had directed us to a couple of unoccupied seats a bit further away where we were able to watch with relative safety. Fast forward to the next day and we were playing football in the back garden. Louis scored a decent goal past me and as he wheeled away to celebrate, he looked me in the eyes, arms aloft and shouted, "You're fucking shit, you're fucking shit, you're fucking shit, you're fucking shit."
He's going to love football. That kid's going to love going to the football.
My first game was Arsenal-Tottenham.
Oh, wow.
And we were by the way end, and a chair got thrown at me.
Oh, my God.
A bit taken aback, I asked him why he said that to me. He told me he heard it at the football yesterday, and that's what he thought you meant to say when you scored.
Oh, man.
I told him it's only what idiots say, and that... I love that. His dad would definitely be singing that.
Yeah.
It's only what idiots say, and that only got him more upset. Fast forward to present day, Louis has stopped swearing when he scores. Both boys still support West Ham, and Man United are still crap. Happy days. I think he said this
that
a few months ago.
That was a while ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was after the Brentford game, because West Ham are nearly getting relegated.
Yeah, Man U are doing really well.
Keep up the good work, gents. My partner, I love the show, and even our boys listen to it too. Only on the proviso, they don't repeat the language. All the best, Richard.
Wow.
That's a nice one.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting taking your kids to football. And it's interesting when there's parents that aren't into football that then have to... My mum wasn't into football, but she got into football by going to Argyle with me.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to share with your kids to know that that's a thing you can do together that you're both passionate about. If it works out, it's great.
Yes, my dad didn't like football, so he never went to football, really.
Yeah.
And it was expensive for all 5 of us to go. But we went to a couple of games.
Oh, yeah, there's more of you, whereas we just go, family enclosure, kid goes free with 2 adults.
I think I'm going to try and take him to Crystal Palace, I think.
Yeah. Oh, a couple more, Rob?
I've got one here, Josh.
Yeah.
Kids saying funny the wrong things.
Yeah.
You mentioned a lollipop man in an episode the other day, which reminded me of something my little boy said. Having started school and crossing with the lollipop man both at the start and the end of the day, after the end of the second day, my little boy asked, "Mummy, why doesn't the lollipop man give me a lollipop?"
That's a very good point. Very good point.
What I'd say for the lollipop man or woman/person is if you start giving lollipops to children,
yeah,
it's already a high-risk pedo job.
Exactly,
it's
like, exactly.
Not that, you know, it's sort of like any job that involves dealing with kids all day, yeah, is going to tie you with a pedo brush. And I think, yeah, slipping lollipops out your pocket ain't going to help your case.
No, exactly. And what are you doing?
Also,
favoritism?
I love all the lollipops that men and women I've met. So do I.
I tell you what is good about lollipop men and women. Bit like, kind of, say, maitre d' or a receptionist. It's all about they've got to be good with people.
Exactly. People,
so
people.
They're people, people. It's an interesting hours, isn't it? How are you mapping your day out if your job is 8.30 till 9?
Yep, and then 3 till 3.30.
And then 3 till
3.30. It's a difficult split shift.
For an hour.
It must be a lot of money per hour to do that. Yeah.
The only lollipop person I know in popular culture is Jack Duckworth was a lollipop man.
Really? Well, I think it's weird, the lollipop man and women. And
is it like a retirement job?
I think so. I think it's like something to do to get you out of the house.
Yeah.
But I think what's weird is...
Maybe I'll do that.
I do think, like, with, like, there is like, sometimes, like, if you're a bloke trying to work in childcare, you're met with suspicion.
Yeah.
More than a woman. So, like,
yeah,
if someone says, oh, we need to get a nanny... Or a babysitter.
Yeah.
It's normally a woman.
There's a friend storyline about that, isn't there? Where Freddie Prinze Jr. plays...
The male nanny.
Plays the male nanny.
And everyone's all suspicious of him.
Yeah.
So if someone goes like, oh, we've got a new nanny starting, and I go, oh, what's her name? That's, yeah, that's what people all say. And they go, yeah, oh, no, it's called Jonathan. And you're like, this is fucking nonce. That's what you're... But it's not fair, is it?
It's not fair.
Because blokes should be able to be nannies as well without judgment.
Totally.
But there's still that undercurrent.
Yeah.
If you go... That's a bit, you know.
Well, lollipop man, though, would you say, I'd say it's a 50-50 split,
yeah,
gender-wise?
I'd say that's more, that's not a gendered thing. I think that's 50-50. I wouldn't say it's more men or women.
Would you do it in retirement?
No.
No. What are you planning on doing to keep yourself
busy?
One
of the things I hate is crossing the road. I find it...
Actually, also, it's very high risk, because while it's a laid-back job, you're basically in charge of the lives of 1,000 children.
Yes.
Like, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong badly.
It's like the captain of a ship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like the Isle of Wight ferry every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd... Yeah, I find...
What would you do? What's your... Rob Beckett is 70.
Sure.
Describe him.
Right, okay.
Is he still doing stand-up? Is he still working? Is he living in Kent?
He's doing well-paid ad hoc corporate work.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really gig anymore, but if a big company comes calling, I'll give out a few awards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice little dicky bow. Doing it out. But I'd say my material's dated, but well delivered.
but what about when you're 70?
It actually comes back round again. But yeah, it's quite, the material's quite dated, well delivered, cheeky glint in his eye, a bit, yeah, of a smile. Because I'm not working as much anymore, so I'm a bit more, you know, there's a bit more energy to give out.
Yeah.
Lou and the kids aren't giving me enough attention at home. I'm bored of my chickens. It's nice to be in Milton Keynes for the night.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
That kind of vibe.
Are you on TV?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, I'm doing basically all I do is a quiz show.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for 25 years. I'm actually not very good at it anymore, but I own the rights.
Right, yeah, good.
They can't
good.
Get rid of me.
Yeah, that's good.
Because if I go, the show goes.
Right, yeah.
You know, I turn up late. Sometimes I don't even ask the final question, just walk off. But the power of the show is I get away with it. My days are spent sort of shouting at Good Morning Britain for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Disagreeing with everyone. But I'm old now, so I'm disagreeing with myself now.
Right,
so
yeah.
So the
things
I believe now, I believe the sort of gammon-faced opposite, because...
Yeah.
As you get old, it gets you.
Yeah.
You'll start to hate everything and everyone.
And have you done an interview where you say people haven't been funny for 20 years?
Yeah, and I've got my own streaming channel that I self-fund. Because mainstream don't want me.
And I'll be honest, I've signed up to it, but on Rose's card, so that you don't see my name.
Yeah, just so like you want to see what I'm up to. And what's a 70-year-old Josh Whittaker doing?
He's dead. He's dead. The asthma got him in the
Josh
end.
Josh is dead. Rose has got airy legs because she can't transfer the money in the bank.
Exactly. what am I doing? I think I'm still living in London.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm on the beach somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm 6 months a year in the Algarve.
Then
I come back for a bit
of work. Yeah. I think you are puce.
It's so red, like a bag. Yeah. Like if you pick me up in a market, you'd go good leather on that.
And I think I'm baggy. I think
you're
I'm
baggy and a bit sort of eczema around the cheeks.
Yeah.
A bit red, where you go in the sun because you're off a lot, but it's not good for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wearing...
How's your body?
my body absolutely ripped. It's really weird.
It's really odd that you've absolutely shredded to shit.
Yeah.
But you walk a bit funny.
Yeah.
Because you're in shape, but you're old. So a bit like rickety legs. You know that sort of old but in shape walk?
Well, that's... Do you know when I went to see Elton John last week?
Yeah.
He walks like an old man now. So when he stands up,
he
walks...
He's an old man, though, isn't he?
Is an old man. Elton John would be the dream booking, wouldn't it? Because he's got twins.
Yeah, it'd be great. Great to get one. Oh, and also, you can just sort of say... Do people come up to you a lot and say...
Yeah.
You look like Josh Widdicombe. It's the hair, I think. If you stop going to the gym and pumping iron and put on a tracksuit and put on a couple of pounds...
Is that why you bought me a tracksuit?
Yeah. I bought you a tracksuit.
I'm
going to
wear
birthday.
It on the next podcast so that we and can talk about me looking
and
like
I'm going to... Next birthday, I'm going to buy you some funky glasses.
He wears such funky glasses. I know that's not an observation. Yeah. What's going on with Elton John's glasses?
Have you seen? Bloody hell, let's do that in the next episode of The Last Leg. What's up with this guy and his funky look?
Oh, man, he was great. Right, shall we finish?
Yeah, should we do some small business?
Small business. We did Nottingham on the tour, Rob, so let's do one for Nottinghamshire.
Yeah.
My sister and I love the pod, and we are coming to see you in London. Please, can you give us a small business shout out? My sister has a newborn photography business in Newark, Nottinghamshire. A perfect way to capture memories of those precious moments when having a baby, as we know how quickly time moves on. You can find her on Instagram at family_tree photography. Family_tree photography. Facebook or her website, www.familytreephotography.co.uk. Thank you. Tanya in Lincoln. Lincoln's lovely.
I've got another one from Nottingham. Hi, lads. Love the pod. Me and my sister came to watch you in Nottingham. We are both childless, but love the pod all the same. I would love to give said sister a small business shout out. She's a wedding and event singer across the Midlands, but we'll go further for travel fees. She does everything from weddings, funerals, fun days, restaurants and bars. Her music, style, catering to whatever you need. Less and less people are getting married these days, so we'd love to give her a shout out. Her Instagram is at Chelsea Jade Singer. Chelsea spelled C-H-E-L-S-I-E Jade. J-A-D-E Singer, or you can look at her website www.chelseajsinger.co.uk. Thanks both, see you and hopefully some others in Nottingham. Alana,
thank you very much for listening. We will be back
next time.
Let's not pretend we know what day that is.
We don't know what bloody day it is.
We don't, yeah,
fucking
guys
on tour.
Yeah.
Pretty rock and roll to piss in a day last night.
See you later.
I think I smell, by the way. See you next week.
Bye.